My name is Katrina Mullaney, and I'm an associate professor in community rehabilitation and disability studies at the University of Calgary. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about my story, my personal story. I grew up, I was born and raised in Calgary and in the 60s and 70s, and we were a pretty typical family for the time. We lived in the suburbs, and my dad worked outside the home, and my mom took care of us. There were three of us, my brother and my sister and I. And, things started out pretty well for us, I would say. My parents got married really young. My mom was 18, my dad was 21, and they were sort of just figuring out what life looked like raising a family back then. Unfortunately, my mom had some pretty significant mental health issues. She had experienced quite a bit of trauma when she was a child. She grew up in Europe and came to Canada when she was a teenager with her mom and dad. And when her mom and dad decided to go back, she wanted to stay here. And so partly one of the reasons I think my folks got married so young. But she, over the years, she struggled to figure out what she needed and how to be healthy. And her mental health issues really sort of took over in our family. My dad was a very, very hard worker and worked a lot to keep food on the table and to keep the lights on and to keep us in our home. And I think my mom worked really, really hard to try and be a good mom. But back in those days, it was actually really hard to get good support, specifically for mental health issues. There was a lot of stigma, a lot of fear, and a lot of uncertainty about what to do when you were not feeling well. And so she struggled for a lot of years, and her anxiety got really, really bad. Her depression got really, really bad. And the only thing that she could do to cope was with alcohol. And so, you know, that made her feel better for a little while. It took the anxiety away, and that was her solution. And so, unfortunately, what often happens with people when they have a lot of trauma in their lives and they don't have the support that they need to deal with it, substances become a way to cope. And that coping very quickly can turn into an addiction and a dependency. And that is definitely what happened with my mom. And so as little kids, growing up in the 70s, we didn't really understand what was going on. We knew what was going on in our house was not typical. We have an amazing extended family of aunts and uncles and at that time, grandparents and cousins, and we all had really good friends. And so we knew that the struggles that my mom were having were not typical. But we didn't know what to do about it, and neither did my mom. And so out of necessity, my parents split up. I was about eight. It ended up being, I think, a good thing in the end. My dad, like I said, was a really hard worker. He still is. And he just sort of threw himself into his work, and he built us a little cabin to get us out of the city. And his biggest concern was, how do I keep my kids safe? And for him, it was stay together as a family, do fun things, get out of the city, go to our cabin. And I think that was just like a really, really happy time for us. My mom, actually, I think not having the pressures of being a young mom gave her the opportunity to get some help, and she managed sobriety for a really long time and found a new husband and had two kids and was doing quite well for a while. But what often happens when you don't deal with the trauma that's underlying, it comes back. And that is what happened with my mom too. She relapsed and actually was working in mental health services at the time, which you would think would be a really good avenue for her to get support for her mental health issues, but really the opposite happened. Because she worked in the sector and because there's so much stigma associated with mental health and declaring that you have mental health issues, she was embarrassed. She was embarrassed to share her story. She was scared to reach out to her colleagues to say, this is what's going on with me, I need help. And so she never did get the help that she needed. And I do believe that issue of stigma and fear and embarrassment is the primary reason that she was never able to get well. And so we did lose her. She lost her battle with addiction and with mental health when I was in my early 20s. And I think when you grow up in that way, you know, you don't come out of a situation like that unscathed. It does impact you. It affects the way you see the world, the way you work in the world, how you feel about yourself, and the options that you think you have for yourself. And so my mom's trauma became my trauma, and I had several years in young adulthood where I really struggled with that and tried to figure out you know, what that all meant and how you sort of go through life as a young person without your mom. And I sort of had a pathway. I knew I wanted to go to university, and I did. I started at Ledger College for a couple of years, and then I transferred to U of C in the early 80s. But I didn't do well at all. I was struggling with my own mental health. I ended up flunking out of university, and, you know, you sort of just spiral a little bit when things like that happen. It's like compounding the issues that you're dealing with. They feel like they get worse and worse. And so I remember thinking a lot about that and trying to figure out what I could do, where my life was going, how I wanted it to end up. And, you know, I think I had two things that were working in my favor. I had my dad and my brother and my sister, who we were just really close, and we just cared for each other and we looked after each other. And my dad was an amazing mentor and role model. And like I already said, we had an amazing extended family. And so we always had a safe place to go. We always had people around us who encouraged us and supported us. And I think those two things were really pivotal in terms of how I was able to move forward. And so we have these moments in life, I think, that are crossroads where we think we have to make a decision. And the path that we take will take us one way or the other. And because I had such great support systems around me, I had a crossroads moment where I thought to myself, I don't want to struggle like my mom struggled, and I need to find a different path for myself. And so when I was unsuccessful at university the first time, that was really that moment where I thought, what am I going to do? I have to do something different. And so I took a couple of years away from school. I worked in some jobs that weren't terribly satisfying, and started to get a little bit of confidence back. And so I went back to university in the early 90s, and I finished my first degree in sociology. And because of that success, I just think it spurred me for future success. And so I got married, and I had my daughter, and I worked a little bit for quite a few years, about 12 or 13 years, and decided that I needed to go back to school. So I went back and I got my master's in disability studies, and then the success of that really helped me to push forward towards my PhD. And so I did complete a PhD also at U of C, and started, I think, my career path. I knew that I wanted to work in this area of mental health and addictions and you know, social issues and social vulnerabilities. But I didn't want to be in service provision. I didn't think I would be good at it. I figured that kind of work might be triggering for me because of my own history. But my mom was really my inspiration for needing to be involved in this work in a really productive and constructive way. And so I decided to pursue a career in research. And I worked in a number of nonprofit organizations and started to build a program of research around poverty and homelessness and domestic violence and disability and mental health and addiction, all those social issues that are so prevalent in our world today and are a part of my personal story. And so, you know, I got my academic appointment at the University of Calgary in 2014 and really started to build a program of research that I think is quite successful today. I do a lot of work with community organizations, because I don't want my research to sit on the shelf. I don't want to just contribute through workshops and conferences and articles and publications. I really want to be a part of a team of people that uses good evidence, good research, try and influence some kind of change, particularly in healthcare and in our social service sector. And so a lot of the research that I do is working with people who are experiencing different social issues, like homelessness, for example. But my purpose is not to just tell the story about homelessness. It's to understand how people move through systems and services and programs to try and get the help that they need. And what I have found is that our systems often fail a lot of people, just like they failed my mom. And so I've sort of dedicated my life's work now to trying to understand how we can do better by people. And the focus of my work is, how do we bridge silos between the immigration system and the domestic violence system, or the homelessness sector and the mental health and addictions services and supports? Because what I have found overwhelmingly time and time again is that the more complicated people's lives are, the harder it is for them to get the support that they need. And to me, that is not that individual person's fault. That's our fault as the people who are designing and delivering our policies and the subsequent programs and systems that come from our policies. And so I guess to wrap up, I would say that growing up the way that I did was a difficult experience for me, but in a way it was kind of a launch for how I live my life now, how I do my work, and the way I would like to continue to do my work. So it really is, for me, learning and growing and changing myself and my work to try and be responsive to the issues that people face that they often don't have a lot of success with. So that is my story, and thank you so much for listening.